This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hey guys, it's Brittany Payton, and thanks for checking out another episode of The Suite Life, right here on the Bet Rivers Network.
Well, I'm super excited. We're going to jump right into today's podcast. And this is a treat for me because I am so pumped to have one of my Chicago Bears family members on here. You know him. He's a super former Super Bowl champ, radio color commentator for the Chicago Bears, Tom Thayer. Tom, thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to see you because I feel like when I lived in Chicago, we would inevitably run into each other a lot of different places, but it's been a while. So how are things?
Oh, my God. I jumped at the chance to be able to talk to you and see you on camera and the modern conveniences of Zoom after everything we've gone through. And it's not as good as seeing you in person. And, you know, I get to see Jared often enough, but it is great to see you.
Awesome. I see where you're sitting right now. You have one of my absolute favorite pictures behind you. Mm-hmm. And it is a picture of that Super Bowl team. And I'm seeing that picture. I can clearly see my dad sitting in there. And we had that in our house.
Right there.
It's now making me wonder where actually, you know what? It's at my brother's house. He has that in his house. Now that I'm like, where is that photo? But we've talked many times. Just talk to me a little bit about that team, that 85 Bears team, such a cast of characters you guys were. But I just feel like that snapshot behind you, that picture is such just a great pick of just the characters, the personalities, and just how special of a group you guys were.
That picture specifically, they put together a calendar after we won the Super Bowl, and everybody on that calendar was part of a month of the year. And after practice, after they put the calendar together, they go, look, we need one group shot that's going to be on the front of the calendar, but we need to do it right now. So you see, there's guys that are sweaty, guys that still have their shoulder pads on, guys that we came right from practice, walked right into the racquetball court downstairs, Hallis Hall. There was no, all right, we're going to line you up this way. It's everybody settle in place, boom, take the picture, and then we're out of here. And the more people that get to see that picture, the more people appreciate it. But I also, it kind of gives you a reflection what that team was all about, Brittany, because, you know, you being so young at the time, and then you think of the different personalities on that team, there was something for everybody. And everybody gravitated towards the William Perrys, the Gary Fensicks, the Walter Paytons, the Otis Wilsons, the Richard Dents, and, you know, everybody else that somehow attracted whatever part of society, whatever part of the world that was attracted to them. And I think that was the most unique thing about the team. There was personalities that were all focused on one goal, but the personalities were all so different, but they all were so accomplished in all of what they were able to create and be a part of, and especially the team specifically. And you can't leave out Mike Ditka because mm-hmm. he was such an important leader for that group of guys, but I'll never forget it. And, you know, I've been a lifelong Chicago resident, a lifelong Bears fan. I'm a season ticket holder, been a Bears fan my whole life. And then to have the opportunity to be a part of the 85 team and the Chicago Bear history, it's been great for me and my family.
Yeah, it is. It's something, it's hard to explain to people if you're not a part of it or you're not from Chicago, but just the love that this city that has for this team and for you guys and has, you know, has continued all of these years. I mean, I was barely born when you guys won the Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't remember anything of when my dad played. I just knew what it was like growing up years later. But what was that like? You know, you said that picture was right after winning the Super Bowl. What was that time like in Chicago after winning this national championship and coming back? I can only imagine what it was like just trying to walk through the streets or go to dinner or you name it. because you guys were so loved.
You know what, though, Brittany? Nobody shied away from the public. It wasn't like anybody was wearing sunglasses, earbuds, and a hoodie and trying to duck their head while they're walking down Michigan Avenue, going to a restaurant, or just enjoying the neighborhoods of Chicago. We were a part of the city, and the city was a part of us. And that's kind of why when you look at the personalities that came to Chicago to play for the Bears, they don't leave Chicago. They stay here, and they become a part of their communities. And they become a part of their communities because of the support we all got from wherever we lived. Yeah, I lived in Northbrook, but I grew up in Joliet. So now as I go to Jewel yesterday to buy food, you know, there's still guys that, hey, you know, go Bears. How are you? How is everything? You know, and just it's not the Bears. It's the way that Chicago supported the Bears and why everybody became, you know, so, you know, just attracted to wherever they were living, and they continue to live. And you don't have to be from Chicago. You can be wherever you came from, but all of a sudden you are a part of Chicago.
Yeah, it is. It's an unbelievable experience, and the love that is for there, and the way, like you said, the way the city and the fans just support whatever it is that we're doing, endeavors that are going on, you name it. But I think what you said was so key is that no one shied away from the public. No one shied away from the fans. It was like you guys all embraced it. And you don't see that a lot today. And I don't know if we'll ever see that. There's very few guys, I feel like, in the league that really embrace that instead of, you know, or quickly get into their car. Or, like you said, they've got the earbuds on and the hoodie and they're not trying to be bothered. Where you guys were like, yeah, bring it on, fans. Like, we want to see you. You know, I feel like my dad, too, he would always take the time to meet people, talk to them, shake hands, sign the autographs. And so many people don't do that today. And I know it's a different world. You know, you guys weren't bothered with social media and TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, you didn't have to worry about all those things. But I feel like you guys really embraced the fans and the community. And like you said, never shied away from,
you know,
from
Brittany,
being there.
If we were a part of the social media of today, we would be a more popular team than ever before. Because let me tell you something. Your dad, for example, I've had a couple of opportunities. One time at a Pro Bowl, he and I were walking down Waikiki Beach, and he had that big brick telephone. And because of his graciousness, his smile, his personality, we had probably 150 people following us as we walked from the Hilton Hawaiian Village down to the other end of the beach. And it wasn't, we were just going for a walk after the Pro Bowl practice. And he didn't discourage anybody from walking along with us. He would backpedal and engage in conversation. And I always kind of use the analogy. And I listen, I've been doing the Bears broadcast for the last 26 years. I've never been away from professional sports. Your dad is the type of guy that could walk into a crowded elevator, and by the end of the elevator ride, every single person was smiling. Whereas today, when you get into the elevator with some of these so-called superstars, and they have their hoodie on, they have their earbuds on, they got their face pointed down, no one changes their expression. And that's one of the things I always wish that the modern-day athletes would be more gracious in their approach to the general public, because that's how tickets are sold, deals are done. That's how you improve your character as a person and your patience. And so I've seen the best in the world, and you know, and I've seen some I wish that would be better in the way they act and react to the world.
I know, it's so funny. It's true, because, you know, being there and living that and seeing that and knowing, you know, what my dad did and what little it took for him to do that and be engaging with people. So when I meet athletes now and through life have grown up, that's how I always judge them. It's not like how amazing they are, because I've met some, I'm not going to name names because that's not right, but some that are in the top echelon of whatever sport they're in. And you said the elevator comment, and I and my mom walked into an elevator with this person, and he had his people around them. And again, like you said, not a smile, not a crack. We were talking with some of his entourage of an incident that had happened, you know, just previous to that. And it was funny. It was a funny, lighthearted thing. never smile, never a crack. And that has always been in my image of that person. So even when I watch them on TV or whatnot, it just, it's harder for me to almost root for them because you saw that character, the person that they were and how that came out. And so it always impressed me about my dad. I love that story that you said about Waikiki, because I was going to ask you, I said, as many times as we've talked, I always say I want to kind of start a book of, you know, give me your Walter Payton story, because everyone seems to have one, whether they met him or they didn't. But what's one of your favorite memories, whether it was a practical joke he played on you guys at practice, or just another moment like that, where it was just the two of you in a stance?
Oh, so I'm in Joliet right now. This is the house I was born and raised in. And this is no palatial estate. This is a blue collar community. And I have this photograph evidence of this. Your dad drove his motorcycle down here on a Sunday unannounced because he and my mom were really good friends. And so Walter shows up at our house this is no exaggeration because I have pictures of it. Every kid in the neighborhood came from all over because they heard that Walter was in our backyard. And I have a picture of him holding up a couple of my nephews, a couple of kids from the neighborhood sitting on his motorcycle, a kid wearing his motorcycle helmet. And this is my hillbilly family. I say that in joking. This is my family who I love dearly. But he is sitting in the backyard with us when all the kids in the neighborhood are coming into our backyard just to get a look at the greatness, just to get a handshake, a smile, just to sit on the motorcycle. And there was a couple times in the course of the seasons that he would come down unannounced. My mom always made food for him after the game because my mom had a tailgate after every single game. And I have a lot of pictures of those times. But Joliet, Illinois, having Walter Payton drive here, pull his motorcycle into the backyard, and just the neighborhood going crazy. Because I grew up in a neighborhood, I back up to a dead-end street. And at one time, we probably had 15 to 18 similar age kids that were growing up in the neighborhood, and they were all sitting back there. And so, and you know, that's just, you know, one of the experiences. There was no cameras. There was no one that, you know, was trying to invite him to come to an appearance that you had to pay mm-hmm. him to show up at. He came here out of the graciousness of his being, and just it gave my mom life. It gave my mom stories to talk about for generations, for all of her friends that she could tell the stories of who showed up in our driveway and just how magnificent of a Sunday afternoon it was. So, you know, there are a lot of other times when, you know, after he was doing some broadcasting work and I was working for the Bears, and we had a few preseason years that we got to travel together and be at different locations. And this is a guy that carried the same type of clout in Baltimore that he did in Chicago. And, you know, wherever the Bears were playing in a preseason game, and just like I said, the magnificent personality of Walter Payton could outshine anywhere he was. And the people, man, women, child, just love to see the smile.
Yeah, that smile. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with me, because there's so many stories, and I find it amazing. I'm like, I kind of want to just collect all of these and be able to, you know, one day even just share them with my kids. Cause I try and tell my kids and my niece and my nephew, and we share stories about my dad, but for them to just really hear to understand just the person that he was, kind of that sweetness. I know the name couldn't have been more fitting, but that he had, because he did things like that, you know, played basketball with the kids on the street. They'd come up and ring the doorbell and ask my mom, "Hey, Mrs. Payton, can Walter come out and play?" And she'd be like, "Yeah, he can come out and play." And he'd grab the basketball and they'd be playing basketball, you know, in the street in Arlington Heights. And, you know, you just don't see that happening today. Not many people are knocking on Tom Brady's door and saying, "Hey, Tom, you want to come, you know, throw the football in the street?" And maybe they do. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it was, thank you for sharing that with me and those stories, because it really is special to hear. And I know all of you guys had such a great friendship. So it's always,
but we could talk about the inter squad game at Plattenville where you were getting your diaper changed down the hood of the car after the game was over. And because I always laugh about this because Steve McMichael, who we all know is going through the just the ALS process. And I was there a couple weeks ago and we are, when we first, he first started, told me about what he was going through with ALS. We were talking about the different adventures that we had gone through in life. And he goes, "Oh, hell, I remember Brittany getting her diaper changed on the hood of my car at an inter squad game in Plattville." And, you know, it's memories that you don't have of yourself that, you know, we have an appreciation for being around your family. And now when I see videos of you and your mom dancing and stuff, and I am not on social media at all. I have nothing. Yeah. So they're sent to me by other people.
I get
such a kick out of it because, you know, I'll be 62 in August and knowing the journey of your family since I've been around your family since the early 80s, it's a significant portion of my life. So when I see what Jared has been able to accomplish, what you've been able to accomplish, where your mom at is in your life, I think all of us, as you introduced us as one of your Bear family, every one of us are so proud of what you guys have become and the torch that you guys are carrying on. Because, hell, we're as proud as you guys as any member of your family.
Well, thank you. That means you're going to make me tear up because that does mean a lot. No, for real. And it does. And I hope people too that are listening and really realize that, you know, it's real. Like when I say that you guys are, we are a family. It is. There is a bond that is there between us and you guys. And, you know, my dad has been gone so many years, but throughout those years, you guys have been there, you know, whether it's events and we see each other in the city and we're going to things and you guys have always been there for us. So it really is a family and has been all those years. And I want people to realize that that's real and it's true. And I appreciate you saying all that because it does. It means a lot. And before I go out, my mom is here with me now. She's been out here. She's out of the cold in Chicago. She's been here for a couple months with us. But I know she'll want to pop in and say hello to you because she was very excited to hear that we were going to get to chat today. So many stories and things. I got to ask you, I got to talk a little current Bears talk with you too, because being the commentator, you know, you have always been engrossed and surrounded with the team and a lot has been going on. So I got to start with first, you know, not the best season last year, but the Bears were in a great position with this draft. We obviously had the number one pick, just trading that away just a couple of weeks ago to the Carolina Panthers. And I have to say, I think the Bears did pretty good. We traded that pick for DJ Moore, a slew of number one and second round picks for 2023 and also 24 and 25. So just want to get your thoughts on just the state of the Bears and where they sit now and kind of what we have ahead of us and how you feel on your thoughts on the trade they made recently.
All right. We'll go back 1 year ago when they hired Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus to come aboard as a GM and new head coach. They understood the restrictions that they were going to face in their first year, limited draft choices, a limited amount of free agency money, and what they were going to have to do to start the initial stages of building a foundation for the future of this football team. In which I think they did. I don't think the message of Matt Eberflus was ever dulled throughout the season, even though the record they have. And now we'll speed up to this year. I always thought that they were going to make a trade away from the first pick in the draft to get multiple picks. I think the most important part of the trade was they made a commitment to Justin Fields. So he's not there looking over his shoulder thinking, wow, are they going to draft one of these quarterbacks in the upcoming draft? Are they... am I not the guy that they're going to go with for the future? And I think that was a really important commitment to the Bears, to Justin Fields, to understand what now he is expected to commit to the Bears. And he is a fully committed football player. And then Ryan Poles, when you think about moving down in the draft to 9 and getting a couple of extra draft picks, having the free agency money that they were able to spend and bring in a slew of players that are going to upgrade the position significantly from linebacker to running back to tight end, so on and so forth. But it's going to be interesting to see, because when they traded for next year's number one round draft pick from the Carolina Panthers, so you think about Carolina having a new head coach, a new quarterback. If they have a bad record, the Bears are going to have another draft choice that's going to be way up top, and that may give them more trading collateral for assets next year. So this is not a one-and-done project in terms of getting this team better and, you know, having more players aboard. This is going to be a couple-year operation. And because of the uncertainty of what Aaron Rodgers is going through in Green Bay and what the other teams in our division are going through, this is the type of year that the Bears could be, you know, last to first. You know, they could start competing for division championships immediately. And I think that has to be the expectations. I don't think that you can go and say, all right, you guys, look, we're willing to suffer through. No, man, suffering's over. This is the time that you guys come in here and start competing for division championships and then get into the playoffs and reward the dedicated Bears fans for everything that they've been able, their patience and their dedications. And again, being on the Bears broadcast for the last 26 years, one of the most impressive things to me is the support that the Bears fans give the Bears when we're on the road. Every single stadium there is filled with Bears fans. So, like I said, as a season ticket holder, as a Bears fan, as an ex-Bears player, I want to see the surrounding Bears fans get rewarded for what they deserve. And then, you know, I often think back to the Super Bowl parade that they had in Chicago, and it's second to none of all the other celebrations that all the sports teams have had since we've been a part of that Super Bowl. There was nothing like the Super Bowl parade in Chicago that surpassed every other one we see up into this date.
Yeah, it really is. And like you said, the fans have stuck in there, and I love to see what the organization is doing, like you said, with bringing in Ryan Poles and now this year bringing in Kevin Warren. It's just everything's stacking into place and to build this team. And like you said, to be in a position where it's not, okay, we're going to slowly build and put these pieces together. They're building it to the point where, like you said, next season, they can go out there and really compete. And you said a key factor there when you mentioned the man up north in green, trying to still figure out where he's going to go or what he's going to do. So I want to kind of get your thoughts on that. You know, I think we know foregone that he is going to leave, or maybe not. Something needs to happen. He's kind of, as things are being held up, but where do you think he will end up? And how do you think that changes the trajectory for the Bears not having to compete or go up against an Aaron Rodgers every year, twice a year?
You know, everything I see, it seems like there's a foregone conclusion as long as they can come to the right compensation involving the deal that Aaron is going to go to the New York Jets. And listen, man, I'm not a big fan of Aaron's personality. However, I think he's one of the greatest two football players since he's been playing in the NFL. I have all the admiration in the world for his athletic quality. So, and you know, you got to envy Green Bay for what they've been able to do with the last two quarterbacks they've had. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when you think of just the ease and the convenience of playing in Green Bay, you don't deal with traffic jams. You can leave the stadium an hour after the game is over and you can be home in 15 minutes. That's not the case in New York. So Aaron is going to have a lot of different growth issues in terms of the small society of Green Bay compared to where they practice and where they practice and then where they play, because it's a significant difference when you talk about traffic. But, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I if I was Aaron, I would commit myself to the Green Bay Packers to the end of my career, and I would graciously do so. But, you know, he's got a different type of personality that he wants to move on. And, you know, it's kind of weird because as a 39-year-old player, I almost wish he would stay in Green Bay, because he's not going to be able to play at that skill level for the, you know, for the remainder of his time. And it would be a great opportunity for the Bears to be able to put together a team that would beat Green Bay the same way we did when I played for the Bears. And, you know, we never lost to Green Bay.
Yeah. It's going to be nice. Those days are coming. I feel it. I feel those days are coming.
Me too. With
his, we own, you know, we own the Bears. We own Chicago. Yeah, we're going to, the tables will be flipped soon. I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to get your take because I think, you know, there's nothing has been set in stone yet, but there's a lot of talk about this team, the Bears, moving and building a new stadium. If people don't realize, the Bears are the only franchise that don't own their stadium that they play in. And they have this opportunity now to build a stadium, to build whatever they could out in Arlington Heights and move the team playing out there. What would your thoughts be on that? How do you feel about that? Because I know there's a lot of people that say, well, no, the Bears, they should stay in Chicago. They should be at Soldier Field. That's their home. That's where they played. And, you know, that's where you played your entire career. But what are your thoughts as a former player, as someone who's involved with the team, what it would mean for the Bears to move out of the city and build their own stadium moving to Arlington Heights?
Okay. I've been in every new stadium built in the NFL in the last 35 years. So I know every single stadium that there has come and gone. I think the unfortunate thing with the Bears and the political part of the whole reconstruction of the old Soldier Field, naively, they did a really poor job. They should have gone above and beyond the call and built a stadium unlike any others in the most beautiful sight line of any stadium in the NFL. Okay, they didn't do that. Now, when you look at the other stadiums around the NFL that have been built, the Arlington Heights project is everything you want. You take this into consideration. Jerry Jones, the stadium he built in Dallas, he had 170 acres to build on. The Bears have 360. So you think of what he was able to build in Dallas and everything that he's been able to accomplish down there. The Bears almost have double the space and what they can do in Arlington Park. So Arlington Heights. So you think of the amenities that are going to surround the stadium, the tailgate parking that you can have, the concession areas that they can have in the stadium with all the modern conveniences that I've seen around every new stadium built. The Bears fans deserve a top-notch, number one marquee stadium in the NFL. It's the oldest franchise in the history of the league. That's what they deserve. And then when you think of what Chicago, with the Chicagoland area, with the surrounding suburbs deserves in terms of Final Four, Super Bowl, Big Ten championship game, winter concerts, and everything else that an indoor stadium can provide for the surrounding suburbs and what can it do for the economy. Listen, it's got to be full steam ahead, and you got to build a marquee stadium that is unlike any other in the sports world. So listen, I love Soldier Field, but when you think about the years that we spent playing in old Soldier Field into new Soldier Field, and they just small 61,500, the smallest outdoor stadium in the NFL. You'll never have a Super Bowl. It's unfortunate that they didn't have their sights set higher when they went through the renovation period and built a better stadium.
Yeah, I agree. It's exciting. It would be, you know, Arlington Heights is where my dad and my mom, that's where they lived when they first moved. Who, you know, when he got drafted, and that's where they set up their home. That's where my brother was born. And they didn't move from Arlington Heights until I think about 10 days. They moved before I was born into our new house in Barrington. So it's a special place for us, what it would bring into that community. And I think, like you said, it's about time. The Bears fans, the fan base from all over, deserve to have a stadium like that. And being so close to O'Hare, to the airport, I mean, like you said, Bears fans are all over the country. I can't tell you how many Chicago Bears fans are here in Arizona, where I am now, but to have an airport too that you could fly into, you can be in an Uber and, you know, 15 minutes to the stadium, if not less than that. I just think it has so much appeal and is kind of a foregone conclusion to where it's going, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I lived out in Arizona for a couple of years. I played in the USFL out there. And, you know, I'm familiar with that part of the world, but I'm Joliet born and raised. And when you think about what the new stadium in Arlington could offer the community all the way down from the city to the Wisconsin border and all the surrounding mm-hmm. area. Like I said, it's something that the Bears fans deserve. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to ultimately what it's going to be turned into.
Yeah, I am too. Well, I have to thank you. This has been such an honor, a pleasure getting to chat with you and hear the stories. I have so much enjoyed it. So I thank you for taking the time. And I know you've got a couple weeks left. You got to get through the draft once we get through there, and then hope you can enjoy some fun vacation time on your surfing trip.
Yeah, I will. I got three dogs here, so I hang around those guys every day. They keep me company, and you know, and then get through the draft and see what happens with the Bears on that day. So listen, man, it was my pleasure to see you and talk to you and reminisce. And, you know, I think about you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you so much. Same here. Sending hugs your way. Again, thank you so much to Tom Thayer for stopping by The Sweet Life to chat with us a little bit and share some of his great stories. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brittany.